How's everybody? We believe in the name of Jesus. Do you believe?
I believe.
I believe. Right? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. We believe in the resurrection. That Jesus rose again. We believe. Woo! In the name of Jesus. We believe all that. All right. It's good to believe. If you want to look that up on YouTube, This I Believe. The title, This I Believe. You'll get it. Okay, you can sing along, you can learn it, and that will help you next week. I hope next week we can sing the song again. It's good to sing about what we believe. That is actually the creed, right? That's from the creed. The creed says, I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in 3-1, God. Right, I believe in all that. We have a class. If you're not clear about any of those points that were in the song, we have a class called The Essentials. It happens back there in the room right behind that corner at 10 o'clock. So if you're not clear, you want to be more clear on any of those points about what we believe and why we believe it, join the class, 10 o'clock next week. In this room, we have a class on the life of Jesus at 10 o'clock till 10:40. All right, welcome this morning. Woo, are you happy to be here? Yeah. I'm happy. Look, you came the right day because we're starting a brand new series. If this is your first meeting, you hit the jackpot. All right. You didn't miss a thing. Because this morning we're starting a new series. We went through Genesis. We took about 6 months. I think we had 27 messages on Genesis, Adam to Joseph, 50 chapters. We covered that. And sometime in the future, well, don't worry, we didn't forget about Exodus. Moses, yeah, we know, Genesis, Exodus. Sometime in the future, we'll get into Exodus, Moses, and we'll carry on the story. But for right now, we want to change pace. We're doing that. So our title is Minor Prophets, Major Message. All right, that's a neat title. I like it. All right. So the Minor Prophets, if you have a Bible, how to find it? You know, if you're a frequent Bible reader, how to find the minor prophets? Look in your Bible. You know, the parts that you read often are probably more dirty. So, you know, the Gospels, Acts, Epistles, that's probably quite used. Genesis, maybe Psalms. Look for the part that's kind of brand new. You know, the part where you have to get the pages apart. Okay, that's going to be in the minor prophets. It's the part you go to least. Right, okay, that's where we're going to go. So we're going to do something we in this church have not done before, Steve, that I recall, right? I mean, I've been here 28 years. That's a long time. Some have been here longer. We have never spent an extended period in the minor prophets. We may have hit it 1 week and then quickly, you know, jump to other stuff. Okay, but we're going to spend some time in the minor prophets. That you want to find it in your Bible, open to the join between Old Testament and New. That's Matthew on the New. And okay, then hit reverse. So you go to Matthew chapter 1, and then you hit the backspace, and you hit, okay, the next 12 books going back, that's all the minor prophets. You got it? There's 12 of them, and they're at the end of the Old Testament. So Hosea, Jonah, Amos, etc. And those names that are hard, you know, Zephaniah, the names that you don't want to call your kids. If you have a child, don't call them Zephaniah. They'll have a hard time in school. You know, Joel is okay. Jonah, that works. Zephaniah is a hard one. They'll be called Zephy. If you like that, well, go for it. All right. But anyway, welcome this morning. My name's Nigel. All right. It's okay. Relax. We got 30 minutes. We'll get there. You all right, dear? Yeah, she's good. Nigel, what is he talking about? All right, here we go. Minor prophets. I'm going to give an introductory word and pick up different points and from different parts. We have a paper at the back. If you didn't pick one up on the way in, maybe you can find one, which may help you this week in your groups. Okay, so minor prophets, major message. Minor, in the Old Testament, there are prophets. The last 16 books are the prophets. So Jesus, one time, talking about the Bible, the Old Testament, he said, the law and the prophets. You want to divide it into two? The Old Testament is the law. That means the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the law and the prophets. Or the law, the Psalms, the prophets. So the third section in the Old Testament is the prophets, and some are longer. Major, minor is not a matter of importance. Major, minor is actually the word term, adjective, comes from the length of the book. So major prophets meant the prophetic books which are longer, 40, 50, 60 chapters, longer. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel are longer, the major prophets. Minor prophets meant they were shorter. The shortest book in the Bible is Obadiah, right? So the shorter books, some are 12, 14 chapters, two or three, maybe even one. Minor prophets are shorter. Because they were shorter, and the Jews, they put them on rolls, rather than our book, leaves. So Isaiah had one scroll. Jeremiah had a scroll. Ezekiel, Daniel would all each have their own scroll. Because the minor prophets were shorter, they put them together, 12 of them on a single scroll, right? So they were together, and there's 12 of them. They were called the 12 prophets, or simply the 12, the book of the 12, 12 minor prophets. So that's where they are. Okay, so, all right. We got to talk about this, give an introduction about the prophets. What is a prophet? What do prophets do? Right? And particularly the ones who wrote. I have a phrase here, and I think it's on the front of the paper if you got it. It's a statement that says this. And the title of our message is, God speaks into our situation. God speaks truthfully into our situation. And this is the role of prophets. God speaks. They're conveying. And the main thing, when you read the prophets, they say, the word of the Lord came to Hosea, came to Micah. It's not their own word, not their invention. No, God's word came to these prophets. God gave a word to Hosea. Hosea spoke this word to people. God gave a word, maybe different word, to Micah. He spoke that word. And many times the prophets say, thus says the Lord, quote, the Lord says this. So all these prophets say that they're convinced and they're clear that the word they are speaking is not from themselves. It's not their idea, their concept. No, it is God's word conveyed through them to people. And God told them which people to go and speak to. So that was a prophet. So through the prophets, God speaks truthfully. God speaks honestly. He's not political. He doesn't just say good things, things people may want to hear. No, God speaks honestly, truthfully, through the prophets to his people show them their situation, right? And many times in the different prophets, most of the time, the reason they're speaking is the situation is not good. The situation is not the way God wants it. So God raises up a prophet. God gives a word or gives a vision to this prophet to convey to the people. He speaks to their situation. Right? So in principle, the same is true for us today. God speaks to us, to our situation. So God speaks truthfully into our situation. And what is the goal? To help us participate in his story. To help us participate in what God is doing. Right? So this is the role of prophets. God speaks truthfully into our situation so that to exhort us, correct us, draw us into participation in his story, what God is doing, right? So let me, let's make a seamless transition from last week, the end of Genesis, to our topic. I think we can, and we can do it in this way. What is the conclusion of Genesis? The last chapter, you haven't read it already, read it this week. Chapter 50 of Genesis, it talks about Jacob, talks about Joseph. What's the conclusion? The conclusion is Jacob reaches the age of 147. He's joined and he's taken his whole family because of, led by Joseph into Egypt. That's the conclusion of Genesis. The whole family, Israel and his extended family, 70 odd people plus, they're all in Egypt. They're there for a period of time, refugees in Egypt. Jacob, who's renamed Israel, is aged. He's 147. He's an old man. He blesses his sons. After he blesses his sons, 12 of them, he passes away. He drew up his in the bed. He passed away. Before he did that, he told his sons, "Don't bury me here. Yes, I'm in Egypt. I'm about to die. I do not want to be buried in Egypt. I have a request. I have a command." He made his son Joseph swear to him, right? Make an oath. "You will not be buried here. I will take your body back and I will bury you in the tomb of Abraham and Isaac." Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca. That is the so-called tomb of the patriarchs. It's still there today. You go to Israel, go visit. There's the tomb of the patriarchs by Hebron. Okay? That was land purchased by Abraham to bury his wife, Sarah. Sarah was buried there. Abram's buried there. Isaac's buried there. Rebecca's buried there. Leah's buried there. Jacob's making a request. Bury me there in the land of Canaan, in the land which is today Israel. Bury me there. Okay. Number two, the very end, last paragraph of Genesis chapter 50 is this. Joseph, later, fast forward 50 years. Joseph dies at the age of 110. As he's dying, he says, I've reached the end, 110 years. God is going to visit, you're here in Egypt. You're going to remain here for an extended period of time. But God will bring you out of Egypt. God will bring the nation of Israel back to the land of Canaan, back to the promised land. I want you to promise me one thing. When this people goes out of Egypt, back to the promised land, back to the land God promised to Abram, to Isaac, to Jacob, take my bones with you. When you go, take my bones with you. All right? That's the conclusion. Take my bones. You think about that? Where are you going to bury your bones? You say, I don't want to think about it. Jacob thought about it. Joseph thought about it. No, then think about it. Does it matter where your bones are buried? Think about it. You won't feel it, will you? You think, when there's only your bones left, you won't think, oh, I'm here. It's just your bones. What's the big deal about bones? The big deal is this, that it shows you both Jacob and Joseph, they saw themselves. Yes, my life is finished, but that's not the end of the story. My story, personal story, is over, but that's not the end of the whole story, because my story is part of God's story. You get it? God's story goes beyond me, goes beyond my life. It started before me. Yes, it extended through my life, and it continues after me. And I want my life to be part of God's story. Right? So, and I know, Jacob knew, Joseph knew, God's story is this nation of Israel will not only multiply in number, God promised them a land, a piece of land, Canaan, Israel. It was on the map there, it's on the map now. God promised it to the nation of Israel that they will be a people in the land. Okay, that story is for me, I'm part of that. So Jacob says, bury me there. And they did. Joseph says, take my bones. And you read Exodus, when Moses and the children of Israel left Egypt. Yes, most of the people who left were living. One person who left was dead. That was Joseph. They took his bones. Moses did it. And when Joshua entered the land, he took in the bones and he buried them at that place. And you can Google it. There's a place, it's the tomb of Joseph, it's by Shechem, it's in Israel. Each of them saw their life as part of a bigger story, a longer story of what God was doing, and that's why they made commandment about their burial, their bones. And brothers and sisters, friends, this is the same for you and me. The same, not the same. You don't need to worry about your bones. You know, the point of this message is not make sure you bury your bones in the right place. It actually, for us, New Testament believers, it doesn't matter where you're buried because we believe in the resurrection, don't we? Okay, you believe in the resurrection. When Jesus comes again, he's going to raise you wherever your bones are, he's going to raise them, give you new life, give you new being, give you an eternal existence, give you a glorious body. As a New Testament believer, it does not matter where you're buried. So, but what is the point? The point is this, that you and I should make sure, should have the desire, Lord, I want my life, my story, to be part of God's story. And I want to see myself as part of this bigger story, that my story, my life, intersects with God, with God's story. That they intersect, interact, and my story belongs as part of God's story. We believe. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is somebody who's had interaction, relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and they say, yes, I'm living a human life. I eat, I do all the regular things, but beyond that, my living, my life is in relationship with God, and God's part of my story, and I'm part of God's story, and these two interact, intersect. Amen. And they intersect now, and they'll intersect forever. Amen. Because we believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe the three in one. And we believe the resurrection. When Jesus comes again, amen, we'll be resurrected. And we believe a lot of other stuff too. All right. So, right? God's story, your story, God's story, my story, and these two intersect, interact. Okay, now, what's the point? Okay, why do you need prophets? You need prophets because many times, and this is the history in Israel, that's the history in the Old Testament, God's people had a good beginning through Genesis, right? But eventually, the story had high points, the story has low points, and the end has, you know, kind of, it's getting low there. When there's a kind of departing, a deviation between God's people's story, their direction, their goals, their aims, their practices, their living, and what God is doing. God comes in and God raises up prophets. See? God raises up prophets. They're his spokesmen. They're his messengers. And why does that happen at the end of the Old Testament? You know, when everything is going quite well, there's a king, he's like David, or early Solomon. The king is good, the king is right with God. The leader has a relationship with God, and the priests are leading people to worship God, teaching people about God, helping that relationship, and the people are honoring God in their living. Then you have God's kingdom on earth with God's people and God ruling on earth. Everything is good. There's peace, there's joy, there's justice, there's right? Things are going well. But when the leaders or the priests or the people depart from God or begin to drift away, they get off track, then we got a problem. We're going off track. Going off track can be dangerous. Look at the picture. Right? That's a great trade when it gets off track. You know, sometimes, you know, we were on the right track. We kind of drift. We lose focus. We make, you know, priorities change, right? And we begin to get off track, drift away. And God raises up prophets, spokesmen to warn. Hey, things are not going well. Oh, I have another picture. Sometimes sometimes we're going on fine. We're steaming along like a boat. You have that picture? Yeah. What boat is that? Titanic. You're doing well. Oh, this is all new. This is, unsinkable. We're full steam ahead. You think you're doing fine. But God knows. Warning. Ding, 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 ding. Emergency. God raises up a prophet. God raises up somebody to give a warning message. Hey, you got to change course. Adjustment. Course adjustment. Change. Hard to starboard. I don't know. Rusty. I don't even know which is starboard. He was a sailor. Okay. Anyway, you got to turn. You got to turn. Change course. Change course. Right? Okay, that is the role of a prophet. You change around. Okay, turn around, right? Get on a different track. That's the role of God's prophets. Okay, so in the Old Testament, you have early prophets, early in the history. Elijah, Elisha, we read about them, what they did and said. They didn't leave us any writings from Elijah. The later prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, we not only have some of what they did, also what they said, and furthermore, it is recorded in writing. So you have the writing prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the minor prophets. They're not only speaking prophets, they're also writing prophets. God decided that their message was relevant not just to those people at that time, when they all gave the message verbally, orally, right? Yes, it was relevant at that time. More than that, it was relevant beyond that. Because of that, it was recorded in the Bible. So, for instance, you read Habakkuk 2:2. We have that verse. I think a verse. There's a prophet called Habakkuk, right? Interesting name. Habakkuk, oh, there you go. Okay, here you go. Habakkuk, the Lord answered me. The Lord said to Habakkuk, write the vision. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. Habakkuk, not only speak the message, write it down. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, maybe clay tablets, so that he may run who reads it. It will benefit not just those who hear, it will benefit those who read. It came down to us. Speaking, prophets spoke verbally. Prophets also wrote, or their speaking was written down, so it can benefit us. Right? Amen? We're good. So there's something for us. All right. Then, you know, God called, I like this, you know, to be a king, you have to come from a special tribe, tribe of Judah, special house, then you could be a king. To be a priest in Israel, you had to come from the tribe of Levi, real priest, house of Aaron. It's not open to everybody. But God raised up prophets from whoever, right? It's not exclusive. It doesn't belong to a particular tribe, particular group. No, God raised up all kind of people, different people to be prophets. Were there people from the kings? Yes, there were. Were there people from the priests? Yes, there were. Zechariah was from the priestly line. But there were also many others from various backgrounds. God called them. Amen? Right? I like Amos. You have a son? Think about the name Amos. Okay, you know, Amos is one of the earliest prophets whose writing we have. You know, Amos, you know, it was not his family background. You know, he couldn't say my father was a prophet, so that's why I'm in this. It's not a family business. You know, he didn't go to school to be a prophet. He said, no, why am I a prophet? I'm a prophet because somebody accused me. He said, say to Amaziah, I am no prophet. That means what? Actually, he means I'm not a professional prophet. That's not my qualification. I didn't take the exam. I didn't get certified. I didn't go to prophet college. I didn't get a prophet's degree. You know, I've not been appointed a prophet humanly. He said, no, that's what he's saying. I'm not that kind of prophet. I'm not a prophet's son. It's not my family thing. This is not my career. I was a herdsman. What was I doing? I was looking after cattle, looking after sheep or goats. I'm a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. That's what I was doing. That was it. But the next verse, we don't have it up. He said, but God called me. God called me. God told me to speak to Israel. God called me. Why am I a prophet? God called me. God told me to speak. And God told me who to speak to. Speak to Israel. Amos was from Judah. He went to the other kingdom, Israel. And he spoke a message from God. And eventually, they didn't like the message. Then this guy, Amaziah, was the official appointed, you know, head of religion. And he says, you know, the hardest job in the Old Testament was to be a prophet. That's the hardest job. If you are a prophet, look out. You got a tough job. You know, so Amos is speaking. He's speaking God's word. And the head of religion comes along and says, you know, Amos, you're a traitor. That's treason. You're speaking against Israel. You're speaking against the king. You're telling us the king's going to die. You're telling us Israel's going in exile. Amos, get out of here. You're a traitor. Amos says, you know, this is what he said, you know, why am I here? I'm not here because this is my job, my profession, my career. I'm not here because of my family background. I'm here because God sent me. The message I give is the message God sent me. That's why I'm speaking. Then he had a few words for Amaziah. Amaziah, here's a word for you from God. Take it. He's a prophet. Prophets faced a lot of opposition, but prophets were people given a message by God to speak for God, and they spoke it. They were faithful to speak that message for God, and many of them it's recorded. So we can learn. You know, we should learn from the example. You know, prophets were not popular. Prophets didn't have the most Facebook friends. Prophets didn't have the most likes, right? But prophets spoke for God. So, you know, today, if you want to be popular, you want to have the most Facebook friends, if you want to have the most likes, don't be a Christian. Don't speak for God. It's not going to work. If you want to be a Christian, you want to stand for God, don't look at how many Facebook friends you have. Don't look at how many likes you have. Be faithful to speak for God. Amen? God values that. People speaking for Him. Amen. You know, I've had people say to me, so-and-so doesn't like what you're saying. The big honcho. Doesn't like what you're saying. He wants you to stop. I said, I will stop when God tells me to stop. Until then, I'm going to speak. Amen. That's the spirit of a prophet. You know, today, we to be a Christian, to testify, we need that kind of spirit. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. You want to know about it? I'm going to tell you. You don't want to know about it? I'll wait. Maybe tomorrow you will. I'm going to say something. In the meantime, I'm going to live it out. When you're ready, I got a word for you from the Lord. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Holy Spirit's waiting for you. Open up. I got a word. That's a prophet. Amen. 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 Let's be okay. Then, you know, the prophet told people the real situation. God speaks honestly to our situation. He did to theirs. This is wrong. This is sin. This is in trouble. This is off. They convicted of sin. They warned of judgment. They gave promise of God's forgiveness, right? People responded. They gave promise of God's restoration, but they gave an honest word. And they foretold things about Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, you read the prophets, a lot of it's not good. The prophet's saying, you're off. This is wrong. That's wrong. This is bad. That's no good. Turn around. Seek God. Turn back. Return to Him. They're saying a lot of stuff, right? You may say, I don't like people telling me I'm wrong. I don't like people telling me, you know, I need to. But in the midst of that, God gave many promises about Jesus Christ. In the midst of all that, in the prophets, the minor prophets, are many prophecies, predictions about Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll find it. I think that's good. You know, you may think, you know, when everything's good, when the situation's all right, when everything's glorious, God can reveal things about Jesus Christ. Yes, He can. You may think when things are not so good, when there's trouble in your life, trouble in the church, trouble wherever, you may feel things are not so good, God cannot speak. You're wrong. You're wrong. The prophets show us, even when things are bad, when things are not so good, when there's trouble, God can still speak. In fact, God speaks more. And God reveals more about Jesus Christ. That's the prophets. Many of the best, clearest prophecies about Jesus Christ are found in the minor prophets. Situation's not good, but God speaks and He brings people to Christ. God asks for a response. The prophetic word is to get a response. It's not for information. It's for a relationship, for restoration. So there's an exhortation. God says, return to me, turn back to me, seek me, consider your ways, change your priorities. God wants a response corporately, individually. That's in the prophets. Okay, I think that's good. That's my introduction. I could speak for a long time. We're only on page 3. But I'm going to stop there. Okay, so that's an introduction. There's a sheet, was a sheet. We can get you one online. Okay, material. Next week, what are we going to do? We're going to start off with Jonah. Jonah. All right. Jonah, why? Because Jonah's the one minor prophet you're familiar with. Right? Does everybody know about Jonah? Great fish, great fish, great fish, great fish, great fish. Swallow Jonah. All right. Next, so if you got time this week, read the book of Jonah, 4 chapters. Next week, we'll start with Jonah. Then we'll go on to the other stuff. Amos, Hosea, et cetera, all the way to Malachi. Okay? We thank you for today. You know, if you're here the first time, introduce yourself to somebody before you leave. Say hello. Right? Let's be nice to each other. And God bless you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for our time with you today. Thank you. You have a story, an ongoing story. Thank you. We can join with you, join our lives to your story. Lord, we pray for everybody in this room as we go out of here this week. Lord, our living, our life would interact, intersect with you. Our life and your life would come together. Our story and your story. We pray your blessing on everybody here. Lord, speak to us day by day. You're the Spirit. You can do it through your word. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God bless.